Spurscast, episode 641. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the Spurscast. Today, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Evan Townsend. In the episode, Evan and I will look at the Spurs' last four games, what the team did during the winning streak, and Lonnie Walker IV's play so far this season. Let's jump right into this episode. Welcome, Evan, to the Spurscast.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, just last week, Evan, we had Rocky Garza Jr. on for the first time. So this is your week for the first time being on the Spurscast as well. Can you kind of tell the listeners some background of, you know, you joining Project Spurs recently and then just kind of, you know, just, I guess, yeah, just some of your background.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm a diehard basketball fan. I've been a basketball fan my whole life. So long story short, I just found a lot of notable follows through quote unquote Spurs Twitter. Mm-hmm. It was I like to call it the audio app summer. I was on Spotify Green Room, Colorcast, and you know, just as soon as whenever I would find a Spurs room or just an NBA topic room, I would give my take, and you know, I found out I was fairly good about it. I'm pretty well educated. So long story short, I just made some connects there, ended up acquiring Michael, and you know, the rest is history.
Awesome. Yeah, so no, it's great to have you on the site. You know, it's Spurscast. If you want to read Evan's work, it's over on projectspurs.com, and you know, now that he's joined our group here, he'll start working on the Spurscast as well. We're you know, being one of the guests here, so you'll hear his voice more frequently. All right, so Evan, let's jump right into this episode. So since the last time I recorded, it was about a week ago, the Spurs played four games. They went 2-2 in their last four games since the last Spurscast episode. Let's review how they did in these games and then also kind of just provide some team updates for the listeners. So let's go back to Thursday. And I do want to note that Evan and I are recording this on a Wednesday evening, this episode. So on Thursday last week, the Spurs, they got their best win of the season. They won by 31 points at Portland on the road. The Blazers were favored by 4.5, and the Spurs ended up, like I said, getting their largest lead of the season. Then on Saturday, the Spurs won by 5 points against the Golden State Warriors on the road as well. This was significant because the Warriors were favored by 9 points. I know they were on the second night of a back-to-back, but still, the fact that the Warriors were favored by 9 points, that was the biggest margin that the Spurs were basically supposed to lose by, according to Vegas. And the Spurs, you know, played very well in this game. They built an early 22-point lead. The Warriors, of course, were the Warriors. They came back. They made it close. They got it to crunch time. But the Spurs, you know, this young team did hold on for the victory against the Warriors. Then on Monday, the Spurs' four-game win streak did come to an end. They lost by four, another close game to the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker was out for Phoenix. Phoenix, again, was favored pretty well here by 7.5. The Spurs fell behind by 16, but again, in the fourth quarter there, they made that comeback where they got it into crunch time, even though Phoenix did hold on for the victory. And then the most recent game was Tuesday, the second out of a back-to-back. It was the Spurs' second back-to-back of the season. They lost by 12 at home in San Antonio against the New York Knicks. The Knicks were favored by 1.5 points. The Knicks basically built like a 16-point lead in this game. The Spurs, you know, they pretty much got like a comfortable win, I would say. The Spurs couldn't quite get it to crunch time. The Knicks just had too much size in the front court with Julius Randle and Nerlens Noel and Mitchell Robinson dominating the boards. They had an opponent season high 17 offensive rebounds, and then the Knicks just made an insane amount of threes. They made 18 threes against the Spurs, and that was a big issue for San Antonio's defense. So what are your thoughts, Evan, on the Spurs going 2-2 in these last four games?
You know, let's start with the Portland game on Thursday. You know, when you blow out a team, no matter what level of competition it is, you should feel good about yourself. You know, I've been saying this in Twitter Spaces. That was another one of the audio rooms I wanted to mention as well. Literally, whenever Derek White has a good game, we're in great position to win. In my opinion, Derek White and DeJounte Murray are the best defensive backcourt in the league. I went on record as saying that for a while. And, you know, it's evident that they work together and they work well together. They both put up maybe 35 minutes. And whenever one's off the court, the other one is guaranteed to be on the court. So, you know, I know we're waiting on some more consistent Lonnie Walker minutes. I know we're going to get to that later. But, you know, overall, I really do think that that game itself was a good starting point, you know, for the rest of the week. And, you know, that led us right into the matchup against the Warriors, won that as well. And, you know, I know a lot of fans are upset about the media attention that we're lacking. We won that game, and all I saw was Steph Curry pictures and pregame highlights of him making that that shot from way in the stands, you know, stuff like that. But you know, that's I think what fuels our guys. We messed around and led a five man rotation, a small ball with I think Keldon Johnson at the five, at one point, and you know, we matched up fairly well against him. You know, it's Coach Pop's team still. I know a lot of people were mad at him with his rotations early in the season, with, you know, Thaddeus Young not getting minutes, Drew Eubanks getting some of his minutes, and Brent Forbes, all that kind of good stuff. But what we saw was, you know, what Primo could provide for us now, more on ball. We saw the lack of an importance of Devin Vassell to stretch the floor, to be able to a wing defender as well. Doug McDermott is not the best defender on ball, and you know, he would get targeted at times. But you know, we going into Phoenix, you know, I didn't expect to win that game. We were actually one Devin Vassell away from winning, and you know, the leadership of Chris Paul, the depth of that team, Monty Williams, you know, former Spurs staff member. It's you could tell when Coach Pop's intelligence rubs off on some of these guys. And you know, Tuesday it was a tough loss, back to back. I'd never seen RJ Barrett play like that in my life. Oh my God! Like, literally, that was one of the best performances he's ever had. And you know, Julius Randle wasn't really an option. You just don't have a lot of size down low. I know a lot of people are claiming or praising Jock Lindell for the few minutes and production he was given. But you know, I really do think that if you have a young team, especially coming off of a road trip, you come back home on a back to back, you're gonna feel it. You know, Keldon Johnson, he got hurt. I've been praising for the love of me. If you're over 6'6", you should not be wearing Kobe's, man. Like that guy is, you know, he's. I'm not gonna go too much about his fashion sense, but he likes to, you know, he's flashy, right? The lime green Kobe's, you know, the red laces, that's cool. But you know, you need some ankle wraps on. You need some Curry ankle braces for sure, young fella. So I think he'll be good. I think he'll be back in the next few weeks. Hopefully, it didn't look too bad. And tests were negative, correct? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that was negative.
So yeah, I think that I think we're getting exactly what we want out of guys. A lot of the questions that we were, even Pop was answering and was unsure of. Oh, who's going to be our closer? Who's going to be our guy? That's now DeJounte Murray. Is Lonnie Walker, has he earned his extension? Is he what people thought he would be? People really thought that he was going to be the leading scorer on this team. With DeMar DeRozan gone, and yeah, that's not the case. So yeah, we're answering our questions. Josh Primo is ready. You know, I work sometimes down in the G League in Austin, and you know, he's a fan favorite. But you know, whenever he's not there, it does get kind of dull. You know, it's kind of, you know, him and Weisskamp split time in Austin. But now Jock Lindell is in Austin. We can get into that as well if you want to, man. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, the Spurs, they basically defied Vegas. Vegas basically said they should have gone 0-4 this past four games, and they ended up going 2-2. So 500 basketball, that's good for this team, who were recently on a six-game losing streak a few weeks ago. So just again, one notable note during this stretch is that the Spurs did build their biggest winning streak of the season at four games. They are now 8-15 through 23 games on the season. They're 12th out west. They're just two games in the loss column behind Portland, who's 10th, and you know, Portland could start slipping here. They're dealing with a bunch of injuries as well. Because the Spurs are winning games now, they're still there in sixth with the sixth worst record, which means that their chances of getting a really good lottery pick is starting to diminish a little bit here. Again, it's still early in the season. They're 23rd on offense, kind of what we expected. They got back to 10th for like a night. They got it back into the top 10 on defense, but then they fell behind with that loss to the Knicks because they allowed 120 points to the Knicks on offense. And just like Evan mentioned there, you know, Devin Vassell is still dealing with his injuries. He has that right quad contusion that's kept him out of several games now. He is listed as doubtful for Thursday against Denver. And then Keldon Johnson got hurt, like Evan said here, in that last game against the Knicks, where Keldon got hurt in the first half. He left to the locker room. Then he started the third quarter, but then he just wasn't ready to go. Coach Pop did say, though, some good news that the x-rays were negative. And so we know that it's not too serious, because the Spurs are already putting him as doubtful for Thursday, which is a good sign that he's just not immediately out. So again, there's a chance he might even end up playing Thursday. He's listed as doubtful with that right ankle sprain. Something else Evan mentioned there is that Jock Landale, for the first time, he's getting sent to Austin to, you know, go get some minutes there, because he's just not playing at this level. I know he got some garbage time minutes against the Knicks, but he's just not going to be in the rotation with Thad Young still on the team, with Kata Bates-Job and Drew Eubanks and also Jakob Poeltl all healthy. Like Evan said, you know, there's been an increase in minutes for Josh Primo, and I know that he's been averaging 16 minutes in the last two games that he's been playing in, but even this goes back to before that, when the winning streak first started. Primo's basically averaging 12 minutes in four of the last six games, and mainly Coach Pop, you know, was asked about this before the game against the Knicks. They've one of the reporters basically asked, you know, Are you basically giving Primo these minutes, or is it more so because of the injuries? And Pop kind of attributed more so to the injuries, the fact that Devin's out right now. Now Keldon might be out. That's kind of the reason why we've seen more and more Josh Primo minutes. And then Pop did say, though, that this team does want to see him more so still in Austin, even I guess whenever everybody gets healthy. But again, Primo's making the best of his opportunity right now with some of these performances he's having. And then one other note on the team is that DeJounte Murray was named the Western Conference, was a nominee, should I say, for the Western Conference Player of the Week. And that's significant because the Spurs haven't had any players make the Western Conference Player of the Week since DeMar DeRozan was off the team, was on the team last year. So, Evan, I know that's a lot of info. Just, do you have anything in particular that you want to discuss there?
Well, I'm very happy DeJounte Murray is getting some recognition. I'm not trying to be biased, but he's my pick for most improved player. Mm-hmm. I know Miles Bridges is having a good season. He's actually the one all-star they have on their team. I don't think LaMelo Ball has earned that title just quite yet. And Miles Bridges is really hooping, so shout out to him. But, you know, we have our guy, we have our leader this year. He's really stepped up. And, you know, just besides the numbers, besides the stats of the last seven games, all the appraisal he gets on Twitter and online, let's think about the impact of DeJounte Murray as a whole. And, you know, if he wasn't there, we would be really, 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 really bad. I cannot express that enough. Without DeJounte Murray, we are one of the worst teams in the league, without a doubt. So, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully he continues. I really think that Primo is going to keep earning his minutes. I would love to see him split time in Austin. But, you know, if Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson are going to be out, I do think that he provides that spark, the playmaking and the defense. I mean, we didn't even mention that. Oh, my man, I know. You know, they were more like deflections and, you know, a lot of players just kind of like not – in motion, just kind of what I'm trying to say is like he caught players lacking in a sense, you know, mm-hmm. not paying attention. Yep. But man, that just shows what his true potential is. He has the biggest hands on the past draft class, if not mistaken, next to Kai Jones. He's still growing, 6'6". He turns 19 on Christmas Eve, you know. So he was only 6 days away from not being draft eligible. So so shout out to him. He's getting his recognition. He's a fan favorite. I don't know if people actually recognize this, but when you look around the league, look at the top rookies like Evan Mobley, Scottie Barnes, Kay Cunningham. Those are fan favorites. Cool, mm-hmm. right? We have a fan favorite as well, and we're taking him we're taking our time with him. He's pretty much what he's doing with Primo is that he's protecting him. So not unless it's his legacy is sustained, but so his hype and so his worth and so his current status is as high as it is, because, you know, the Jalen Greens of the world, the Franz Wagner, and you know, even like the Austin Reeves of the world, they're cool, but they're not actually they're good, but they're not actually quote unquote living exactly up to hype. Wagner is, he's kind of fell off a little bit. Jalen mm-hmm. Suggs has kind of exceeded expectations, but, you know, the Primo picks, the Primo, Threemo, all that kind of stuff, that's great and that's rare. And I know people are like, oh, you know, we should just give him 20 minutes. If that happens, all that praise goes down the roof, yep. or down the drain, so if I'm mistaken. So yeah.
Yeah, so no, for sure. And I think again, until everybody gets healthy, I think you're going to continue to see Primo. And again, he's just making the most of his opportunity, where if he continues to play really well, you know, Pop's going to have that tough decision when everyone gets healthy is, you know, do I send him back to Austin or I just keep him here? But for now, it does look like the plan is to send him back to Austin whenever everyone gets healthy. But, you know, it's fun, too, to continue to watch Primo get minutes. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code TBPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let's go to our second topic, and this is just looking at some things that the Spurs were doing really well during that four-game win streak. And then, you know, and it, some of it's just like some of the most obvious things. So one of the big things is that they really dominated the paint during that four-game win streak. They were outscoring teams by 16 points per game in the paint. Normally, during the season, they outscore teams by 7 points, almost so double the scoring in the paint. They increased their own paint scoring. They were much more aggressive attacking the rim. But it was really their defense. They were holding teams to 43 points in the paint during this win streak. And normally, they gave up 47 in the paint. Teams shot 54% of the paint compared to 61% for the season. The Spurs also flipped the free throw line deficit, where normally they lose the free throw line by about 2 points. Now they were winning it during this four-game win streak. This is not just with the four-game win streak, but this has been happening even in these two losses against Phoenix and against the Knicks, where the Spurs are kind of just abandoning the mid-range completely. You know, they've really started to decrease their attempts from mid-range, and we've seen that in the data from night to night. During the four-game winning streak, they were only losing the three-point line by 3 points. During the season, that's usually an issue. They're losing it by 7.8 points. And then one thing they did well on defense was really making three-pointers tough for the opponents. Opponents shot 32% during the win streak from three on 11 makes. During the season, they make 13 threes against the Spurs on 36% accuracy, which is a good number. And then the Spurs also had been limiting opponent wide-open threes for 8 games in a row. This is even before the win streak. And then it finally got broken. That number kind of snapped when the Knicks got a hold of like 54% of their threes that were wide open. So those are what the numbers say right now, what the Spurs were doing well during that four-game win streak. Just some things that the eye test basically shows is just some of the players that are back and playing very well. Jakob Poeltl's finally back. You know, Coach Pop basically said he's the base of their defense, and that's the reason why we can attribute a lot of that improvement in rim protection, because Poeltl's basically back and finally healthy after his bout with COVID. Derek White is also back. Even though he's been here, he's back to being Derek White, basically. So since that Boston game, that's when it all started 6 games ago, Derek's basically been in double figures every single night. He's averaging 19 points on basically like 16 shots, so an efficient number there. He's launching about 7.7 threes per game, shooting 30, basically right under 33%, which would be a point per shot. He's getting to the free throw line, so now this helps out the team, because it's normally just been Keldon who's able to get to the line most often. So now Derek's getting 4 free throw attempts per game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.2 turnovers. Also, during the last 6 games, DeJounte is just putting up 29-9, you know, being DeJounte Murray, kind of what Evan said earlier, how his play has been really well this year. Doug McDermott is, you know, rolling right now. He's averaging 14 points in the last 6 games, and he's been doing really well since he came back from his injury. Keldon Johnson, I know his average is at 13 points in these last 6 games, but it only took a dip because he had to miss minutes when he got hurt against the Knicks. And then Jakob Poeltl, like I said, you know, 11 points, 10 rebounds the last 6 games. Bryn Forbes has been a spark for the team off the bench with 10.7 points per game in the last 6. And then Lonnie Walker, yes, I know he's only averaging 8 points. He's actually under his normal scoring average, but he did have that one big breakout game against the Warriors with 21 points, and that actually helped San Antonio get the win. So do you have any comments, Evan, on you know, these that four-game win streak, but then also just some of the players that have just been playing well overall?
You know, I'll start with Doug McDermott. He missed a few games early in the season. He's been out every now and then, but, you know, he's not the guy that we should depend on for a bucket off the bench. I think that's Devin Vassell's rule, you know. But when you run a play for Doug McDermott and you're thinking he's going to take a mid-range shot and you find him flying by you for a floater off the glass, a nice one, that's where I think Pop should get a lot of praise, because, you know, Jakob Poeltl, I think the game was against the Lakers. He had 4 floaters over Anthony Davis. Nothing but net. He hit him with a high. If it was in 3, it was 4 for sure. You do a high pick and roll, high ball screen. You hit him right before the free throw line, and you think, you know, he's gonna kick out, swing to one of our guys in the corner, but, you know, hit him with the floater. There's plays like that. There's the I'm not trying to diss Lonnie, but Lonnie does his own version of the LeBron. Let me look at the ball. You know what I'm talking about? You look at the ball, then shoot. What he'll do is that he'll jab, and then he'll wait a second, and then he'll do a quick little shot fake, and then he'll launch. It's inconsistent, but that kind of stuff, when you least expect it, what else? The Bryn Forbes, crossing somebody and end up on a top 10 play. When has that ever happened? You know, that was great. You know, that was a great moment. But back to Jakob Poeltl, his impact, having a guy making $8 million, giving you a double-double every night, playing 30-plus minutes, isn't something that you find every single day. You know, he was one of the more underrated players coming into the season, especially after the preseason. He had a great preseason before he got COVID protocols. And, you know, shout out to Spurs fans for ruining that for us. I don't know if you knew what happened, but he went to go get a haircut. He wasn't wearing a mask, and someone took a picture, and that's what happened. So shout out to Spurs fans. You know, you really helped us out there. But there's a lot to talk about this team and during that streak. And it was – and you definitely saw it. There's – people went from, you know, oh, let's go get that top five pick to, oh, let's make the playoffs. We're only a couple games away from the fifth, sixth seed. And, you know, I think that I do think the lottery is real. I'm not one of those guys that's saying, oh, like they what's the word I'm looking for? They pretty much give away, what's the word I'm looking for, man? They have some type of control over the lottery. They don't have it's not fully random. Sorry, and I do think that we will get blessed. I do think the fantasy gods will bless us. I do think that we'll end up with the pick higher than we're projecting, no matter where we are, solely because we're one of the only teams. I want you to recognize this. The Spurs are one of the only teams that don't have dysfunction on the bench. Besides Thaddeus Young, that's not really that bad, though. We're not John Wall sitting out making $40 million. We're not Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard arguing over the bench, you know, probably over a Hall of Fame accolades or something, whatever. Never mind, top 75. Anyways, like, there's all this animosity on certain tanking teams. The Kings, they have a horrible front office. The Trailblazers, I'm not going to get into that. The Mavericks, they're always in some nonsense. The Magic, they're okay, but they still have Terrence Ross. They still have that Wendell Mobamba crisis isn't exactly a crisis anymore. But you know that we're a team with everyone has it on a great contract. There's no real true beef, and if that beef is real with Thaddeus Young, we all know he's going to get shipped out before All-Star break. We can get to that later, but yeah, there's really nothing to worry about if you're a Spurs fan. I think that once next year's draft comes around, there's so many 6'8 to 6'10 stretch fours, scoring fours, 3-and-D guys that we can get no matter what position we're in, and you know we can actually make a move. You know, if Joe Weiskamp let me tell you, before this win streak, I was saying Weiskamp is more ready for what his role could be and what he can provide, or just as ready as Primo, just because, you know, he can stretch the floor, his shot's looking better. He was working on that with Doug over the season and in training camp, and literally, like, he's 42-inch vertical, the confidence, just as Primo. Primo's going to be more on ball. The turnovers, 5, 6, 5, and 7 his last four games, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, if we're one, the people that are saying we're one or two pieces away, they don't really know what they're talking about. We're maybe 3 to 4, I don't want to say pieces, but major moves away, because we still have to figure out, does Keldon Johnson want to be here? We still have to figure out, is Doug McDermott worth, what, $13 million off the bench? That's the fourth biggest, soon to be third biggest cut on the team, you know? So I'm really excited for the future, and, you know, I really wish Spurs fans would just chill out, you know, let Coach Pop do his thing. I know that people were worried about, oh, you know, we need to press him and ask questions and yeah, this and that, and we've seen what happens when that occurs. So I think we're in good standings, like I said, and I really do think that we're going to finish maybe 10th, 11th seed. I don't want to be in the play-in. I'd rather be in the lottery, but you know, like I said, maybe the fantasy guys. They bless us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think just going back to the topic, some of the biggest things you can take away is that, you know, a lot of their success was because of the defensive end, and that's something they can control a lot of times where you know they're a really good defensive team on certain nights, and so that's something again, you know, the shooting's going to come and go at times, you know, not some of these players aren't going to play like this all the time, but again, it's the fact that if they can just communicate on defense, because it's kind of something that they talked about, and just you know, really taking away the three ball as much as they can, you know, contesting shots, and then also, you know, with Jakob Poeltl's defense there at the rim, and then also the rotations by the other players, the wing players, and their help defense and things like that. That's something that where they can find more success. So again, that was a good picture for them those four games when they went on that winning streak, and we'll see if they can find some more success after, you know, after losing the last two against the Knicks and the Suns. And then the last topic, Evan, that we just want to discuss here on the Spurscast is Lonnie Walker IV's play. And the reason why I bring him up, you know, through 23 games is because of that game going back to the Warriors game. It's just wild how he just looked like just so calm, so patient, and just so aggressive against the Warriors. And then all of a sudden, you know, just the next two nights, he just struggles again. And so let's look at Lonnie for the whole season now. Let's begin with the offense. He's averaging 9.9 points per game on 9.8 shots. So obviously that shows that he's really struggling with his accuracy. He takes 5.2 three-point attempts. He's only making 29% of his threes. He's averaging 2.5 assists and 1.3 turnovers. So against the Warriors just recently, he scores 21 points against the Warriors, like I said. And the big thing here is that he scored 10 points in the paint. He was very aggressive driving against the Warriors, getting into to the teeth of the defense and scoring. Then a few nights later, he scores 6 points against the Suns, all from three. And then just the next night, just last night on Tuesday, he scores 3 points against the Knicks the entire game. And of course, just one made three. So it just makes me question, you know, what's going on here where he's able to just attack a defense on one night just like crazy, and then just a few nights later, he's just, you know, all he's looking for is a three shot. That's the only shot that he's given. So let's look at his shot diet. Where do his shots come from? We know that 40% of his shots do come from the arc three, beyond the arc, where he's struggling, like I mentioned earlier, with his accuracy. 31% of his shots do come in the paint, and he's scoring well there. He's getting over a point per shot when he does attack the paint. 60% of his shots come from mid-range. He's struggling on that shot too, even though he takes it. And then he doesn't get that many corner threes, and that's the only place on the three-point line where he's actually efficient right now. Only 12% of his shots come from the corner three. Defenses are leaving him wide open, so he's getting 49% of his attempts wide open. He's struggling on those wide open threes. He takes a lot of pull-ups. 29% of his 3-point attempts are pull-ups. He's the leader on the team in attempts, and he's really struggling there on those pull-up threes. He's fourth on the team in total drives, so he's putting the ball on the floor and going to attacking the defense. 41% of the times he shoots the ball, he takes a shot when he drives the ball. The other 41% of the time he passes it, and then 8% of the time he draws a free throw, and then another 8% of the time he turns it over. And then overall on offense, when he's on the floor on offense right now, the Spurs are outscoring teams by 0.7 points per 100, which is basically barely outscoring opponents. So that's about average when we look at the data according to Cleaning the Glass. So what are your thoughts on offense? The fact that, you know, he can just go from one night against the Warriors, 10 points in the paint, just they can't stop him from attacking the defense. And then the next two nights, you know, just, you know, like I said, all he is a 3-point shooter.
You know, I really do think Lonnie Walker is going to end up walking in free agency. He's the Warriors game. Let me start with that. They actually left him open a lot of times. It was it was what we saw with Derek White. He was left open in a few games early in the season just because he's not shooting well. Mm-hmm. He did attack the rim. And Alani, he did attack the rim. He was doing well, but you know that first half, they pretty much left him to prove himself. And this is his last year on his deal. Like I said before, people were really thinking that he was going to be the leading scorer of this team, whether if he was starting or off the bench, just because his mentality, you know, shot creating ability, and you know, just having the reps. And early in the season, he was shooting 20 times a game. You know that diminished over the past few weeks, but I really want to see. I'll make this so easy for people to understand. If Lonnie Walker is willing to have less minutes than Devin Vassell, and to make less than around maybe like $6 or $7 million, actually maybe five around what Brent Forbes is making, he'll come back next year. But that's like a current KCP type of role. Would he be down for that? Is he trying to prove that he's a 6th, 7th man off the bench rather than a 9th or 10th? And, you know, I don't think he'll take that. I would rather him, you know, be up and honest with Pop and say, you know, man, this is my last. I really don't think he's going to be here, man. Like, I'm trying to figure out, is there a trade? Maybe toss him with Thad Young. We were in spaces earlier this week, and I was actually in a Miami Heat space. And they were praising me for saying, bringing up a Thad Young, Lonnie Walker, maybe a pick for Yerk and for Duncan Robinson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that Duncan Robinson is making over $90 million over the next 4 years. He's, in a sense, the quote-unquote, the highest-paid podcaster out there. You know, but he's having a bad year. I don't really see that being a long-term move that benefits both teams. But, you know, Lonnie Walker will be going back to Miami where it all started. He doesn't have a huge, huge role, but it's the same. It's a similar type of system with Spo in Miami. And a deal like that, I think, would fit him best, because if he's going to be playing like this on this team for the next, 5 or 6 months, you know, he knows his time is going to be up, and it's going to frustrate him. You know, I know he was in interviews saying, you know, I want to be here, the guy in HEB, and he was like, what's up, Way, and all that kind of stuff. There's people making merch off of that, you know, and that's cool. That's great. You know, he's shouting out the Roadrunners. That's cool. That's great. But, you know, does he really live up to the amount of money he's going to make next year and what he wants? And I don't think he's going to be a San Antonio Spurs, long story short. You know, it was tough to just soak in, but, you know, maybe if he, like I said, he was up and honest with Pop and says, hey, man, like, if you ship me out, it doesn't matter what team. Maybe a team had him higher on the draft boards a long time ago. Maybe they have some open opportunities due to injuries or due to lack of depth at that position. But, I think he can turn it around. I do think he can be someone in our future, but, you know, people are already comparing, you're already saying, you know, he Primo, not saying he should take his minutes next year, but he's going to be able to have his minutes when he's if he were to be gone, and he would thrive, he would do better, you know. So I really hope he turns it around. I'm a huge, huge Lonnie Walker fan, don't get me wrong, but, you know, he's got to just be more consistent. And I think it's all mental. I really do think it's all mental with him. Mm-hmm. We remember when he first came in, this man had the hair. He was super. Everyone, when you first get some money, and when your dreams come true, you're going to be, not saying immature, but, you know, a little childish. You know, not the most professional. And, you know, what has happened over the past few years? He's gotten engaged. He cut the hair. He went from posting just his dogs and his life story on Snapchat to posting, like, real, you know, like all the stuff that's going on last summer with the riots, and then, you know, mm-hmm. You know, being a part of the walks and stuff. You know, that's great, but, man, you know, that's, you got to produce on the court. So that's all I got.
Yeah, I know. Just going back to the offensive part, you know, how we kind of say, you know, the number is a little disappointing here, especially when you see the potential he has because of, like, how he played against the Warriors. And I go back to an early quote from Pop earlier in the season. It was actually before the season started, back against the Magic in a preseason game. I remember Pop says, you know, yeah, he's been coming off the bench about Lonnie, and he's a scorer. He can score. And we're not a high-powered team offensively, so what he does for us is going to be very important for obvious reasons. So that was when, you know, Pop was asked about Lonnie's play. He was playing a little well during the preseason. So that's what it comes down to, is the fact that, you know, this was his chance. You know, there's no more, you know, Rudy Gay off the bench or Patty Mills off the bench. This was his chance to be that guy that they, you know, they could look for 15, you know, 17 points a night. And he just didn't. He hasn't done that. You know, I know it's only 23 games, but still, you know, right now, just based on the pattern of what we're seeing, that doesn't look like that's going to be the player that he's going to be this season with this Spurs team. So I think that, yeah, like, I'm with you, Evan, where, like, yeah, I think that his time is going to, you know, this might be his final season, especially because he is going to be a restricted free agent this upcoming offseason. And that's even if they tender him the qualifying offer. You know, defense, the reason why I think he still continues to get minutes is because his defense has been pretty good this year for the Spurs. He stands out on the team in defensive field goal percentage. He's solid amongst his teammates and deflections, steals, contested shots, blocks, fouls, and defensive rebounds. Teams are outscoring the Spurs by 3.2 points per 100 per clean the glass, which is the 33rd percentile. But overall, he's been pretty solid on defense. And then I think you kind of just addressed this, you know, right now, is like, I really feel that, like, you know, once everyone gets healthy and, you know, Primo goes back to Austin, there's going to be a few more games that get played. And we have seen Pop, you know, he's willing to change the lineup if there's another player ready to go that's in a better position right now. And so we saw that recently with Drew Eubanks and Thad Young, where, you know, Drew is for sure getting all those minutes, and then all of a sudden, you know, Thad just showed that he was a better option off the bench. And so in some of those games during that win streak, Pop went to Thad Young first over Drew Eubanks. And I do wonder if, you know, if everyone gets healthy and Lonnie's kind of still not quite, you know having pretty good games here, I do wonder if Pop will eventually, you know, give some of those minutes to Josh Primo. Primo and kind of start bringing him ahead of Lonnie. So that's something to watch down the road here during the season. And then kind of what you just mentioned there, I do wonder too. So now, like, you know, we've all known about, you know, Thad Young's probably going to be the player most likely traded before February 10th. But because Lonnie can be a restricted free agent this offseason, you know, and they could end up losing him, like you said, maybe he ends up walking. I do wonder too, though, if his chances of getting traded are starting to increase with the few months down the road. I don't know exactly. Maybe Miami's a good team, like you mentioned, that can want him a contender. But also, you know, if you're a contender, do you want a guy who's right now shooting 29% from three and just, you know, he's been really inconsistent? Or is it like a younger team, you know, that's kind of still developing and they think they can get more out of Lonnie if they put the ball in his hands and maybe make him a starter and let him have, like, you know, 20 shots a night, see what he can do? So I think those are some interesting questions to watch. Did you have anything else on Lonnie?
I do think Lonnie will find his role. I do think that he'll be a he'll have maybe a 10 plus year career in the league, but you know, he's gonna have to just really focus and lock in and you just analyze where he's at as a player. You mentioned his defense. His defense has been fairly well. He has really quick feet. He has a really high basketball IQ. But I really need to see him improve a lot of these numbers, you know. So I don't think Primo's going to just take his minutes. I think Pop sweat equity. Lonnie has rode the pine for years. He was in Austin. He earned his current role. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that, you know, on his way out especially, I think that would raise a lot of animosity on the bench, what I was mentioning earlier that we're trying to prevent. So, you know, Lonnie's been a good mentor for a lot of these guys, a lot of these rookies. I can imagine him just, you know, saying, you know, this might be my last year, but I'm gonna give it my all. And I don't think a lot of these, I don't think Twitter is getting to him. I don't think social media is getting to him. He's just trying to play his game. So I really would wish him the best. Like I said, I am a really big fan of his. He's been a really big important piece off the bench. And if we were to lose him, you know, we would suffer a lot, especially with Primo, and, you know, maybe he's not ready for 20 plus minutes, you know. So yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, so yeah, so again, we'll kind of see what happens to Lonnie again. It's only 23 games, still a lot of season left to be played. So before we close out this episode, SpursCast listeners, don't forget to visit ProjectSpurs.com. We have game-by-game analysis by Stephen Michael. Rocky Garza Jr. continues to provide the weekly previews each week that the Spurs play. Benjamin Bornstein is looking toward the draft down the road. His latest piece is called A View to a Dunk, a Jalen Duren Prospect Watch. And then our newest writer, Trace Roning, he has his first piece up on the site called Stuff I Liked About the Spurs' 4-Game Winning Streak. Again, that's by Trace Roning. So thanks to Evan for joining me here on the SpursCast. Also, thank you to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.